The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Rolien Marks, one day before the Chag, how are you?
Well, I'm already suffering from separation anxiety because I don't think I'll get a chance to speak to you until next week.
Correct. Yes, between the Chag and Shabbat, we're going to be off air until Monday.
But I do have to say it's a particularly difficult time, I think, for many of us, not just here in Israel, but around the world, as so many of us are separated from our loved ones, our families, our friends. And I think even though we may be apart physically, we're going to have to try and get through this Chag together. And I was actually saying to somebody earlier today, in Israel, we're lucky. We only do one night of Leila Seder or one night of Pesach. So the emotional anxiety is a little bit less. But it is our hope, at least the Prime Minister said last night, that at the end of Pesach or following the end of Pesach, we will look at possibly starting to lift restrictions, and Israel will follow Denmark, Austria, and Germany, who have said that from next week, it's projected that we could possibly start lifting these restrictions.
Hear you loud and clear, Rolien, but what I've also seen in the Israeli news is that you are going to go through a particularly stringent time over the next couple of days.
So there's a lot of conjecture around this, a lot of people saying, is this being done to placate members of the Haredi community? Basically, what is happening is that as of 6 p.m., we are in lockdown, which means that we can leave our homes to go to the grocery store, to the pharmacy, but we cannot leave our neighborhoods or our towns. We cannot travel between cities and neighborhoods. I think this is perhaps to try and stop people from sneaking off to other people.
Yes.
Tomorrow night, yeah. For Seder. We want to lock down. We want to keep it safe. We have our tremendous President Ruvi Rivlin yesterday making the appeal for Israelis to please go onto their balconies at 8:30 tomorrow night to sing Manishtana all together. And actually, as we're speaking, news just in from our health ministry that they're looking at the possibility of introducing schooling in shifts pretty soon, that there will be some kids who will have schooling in the morning, some kids who will have schooling in the afternoon, to try and lessen the amount of people. But it looks like we're thinking creatively and all contingency plans. But just a reminder that there are many places across Israel, like B'nai Brak, certain neighborhoods in Jerusalem, Modi'in Elit, and others that are under very, very strict lockdown at the moment. And this is because of the high levels of infection rates in these areas. So we're trying to do everything we can. At the moment, our stats look as follows. 9,006 confirmed cases of coronavirus, 60 fatalities, at least 653 people have completely recovered. Oh, sorry, 683 people have completely recovered, and we've got about 153 in serious condition, with a large portion of those on ventilators at the moment.
I must say, Rolien, that sounds like you have it more in control than most countries. I mean, if you certainly compare it to Europe and what's happening in New York, seems like the preemptive action taken by Bibi and co. seems to have done its job.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I keep saying this, but at the outset, we thought that the government was perhaps losing its mind. But in retrospect, we are very, very proud of the way that Israel responded almost immediately. And yes, they're having hiccups along the way. You know, yesterday you mentioned, what about your health minister? And the health minister is a very controversial figure at the moment. He's somebody that most Israelis want out of the health ministry. And but largely, our government has handled this very, very responsibly. taking the advice of top health experts, top economists. Economists also playing a very important role. Also, the defense and security establishment, how we track the virus, how we monitor people that should be quarantined. In fact, one of the reasons why we have the stringent lockdown is because there was somebody from a community in Netanya who was meant to be in quarantine, who caught the bus to Jerusalem. And this, of course, could potentially put thousands of people at great risk, and we can't have that. But we responded at the outset, locking down our borders, restricting and stopping travel, ensuring mandatory quarantine, ensuring social distancing, and then the phase of lockdown, which seems to be proving successful.
The issue of ministerial accountability in Israel is also interesting, and it was juxtaposed yesterday against the resignation of the chief medical officer of Scotland, who was found going to her holiday home despite the fact that she was the person who promulgated the rules requiring a lockdown. And there you had Litzman, your Minister of Health, apparently attending certain minyanim in his hometown in Bnei Brak, again in contravention to all the legislation that exists in Israel. I just thought that was an interesting commentary on ministerial responsibility in Israel currently.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the criticisms that has taken place is not just that he contravened his own laws, but we have people like Litzman and various other Haredi ministers in the or government representatives in the government for the specific purpose of promoting or looking after the needs of their community. You know, despite the big divisions between religious and secular, it's very important that religious people, the ultra-Orthodox, do still have representation. And a lot of the criticism being leveled at Litzman is that he did not represent his community, and he did not ensure that his community receive adequate updates and education about the threat of this virus. And therefore, you know, he shouldn't be in this position. He's also, health affects us all. This is a very, very important portfolio, one where we cannot have biases. Also, the amount of criticism coming at him because of the way he handled the Malka Life issue, which was an absolute travesty of justice. And the other criticism coming towards him is that he's actually not really qualified to be a health minister. He's somebody who perhaps should have another portfolio if he's going to be in the government, but not the Minister of Health. And the letter written a couple of weeks ago by Israel's doctors to Benny Gantz and to Benjamin Netanyahu saying, while you're negotiating a government, please ensure that you negotiate this man out of the heading of the health ministry.
Staying with politics, on again, off again, unity government discussions, I believe.
Yeah. Well, they are now frozen. They are frozen because, of course, we don't have an agreement. And this one's accusing that one of stalling. We do have two rare kind of movements forward. One is that the Likud have agreed that Yuli Edelstein, who was the former Speaker of the Knesset, will not reprise that role. That role will go to somebody else. And the Labour have indicated that they will join in a coalition with the Blue and White. But talks are frozen. And, you know, last night, very interesting, as he was addressing the nation, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was saying that he had spoken to Vladimir Putin, and Putin had said, you must have a unity government. It's very important for Israel at this time. So, very interesting that he chose to lead with the endorsement of somebody like Putin, who's seen as somebody who wants to have a lot of control in this region. But it seems that even Vladimir Putin couldn't get a unity government together in Israel ever before Chag.
Yes, and it seems to be justice ministry versus annexation. Those seems to be the issues of deadlock.
There are the issues of deadlock, and the Blue and White are adamant they are not budging when it comes to the issue of the Justice Ministry. They've bent a little bit as far as annexation, and remember, we can't just annex anything. It has to go to the Knesset. It has to go to a vote. But when it comes to who will be appointed judges, they are not budging.
Rolene, very quickly, in the little time that's left, lighting up Tel Aviv. How is Tel Aviv showing solidarity with other cities at this time?
Well, I have to say, this is very special from Tel Aviv. It's not unusual for the area, the municipality in Tel Aviv to light up, whether it be for Gay Pride or whether it was a couple of weeks ago to say thank you to Magen David Adom, who deserve all our thanks. But over the last couple of weeks, as several countries have reached their peak, Spain, Italy, the USA, and more recently the United Kingdom, the municipality has lit up in the flags of these countries. And very moving last night to see very secular Tel Aviv lighting up her heart, and in Hebrew letters, B'nai Brak, for our brothers and sisters in B'nai Brak who are being affected very badly by Corona. But it also a beautiful gesture from the Azrieli towers, those three iconic towers, the one in the middle lighting up with the words Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. A very, very moving, and if that doesn't galvanize secular and religious, I don't know what does.
What will? Yeah, as you said it, so the goosebumps happened on my arm. Rolene Marks, it's 5:30. We're going to leave it there, but wishing you and your family a chag kasher v'sameach, and yeah, thank you for everything as always, and be good, be safe.
Chag sameach, guys, a healthy and blessed one, and I'll speak to you next week.